Let's get started right away. We have an interesting case that was in the United States Supreme Court this past week. On Monday, the Supreme Court heard arguments in a First Amendment case involving freedom of religion and the right to pray in school. Is this a freedom of religion case? Is this a separation of church and state issue? With us to discuss this issue is one of the foremost experts in the area, Professor Richard Garnett. He's the founding director of Notre Dame Law School's program on church, state, and society. He writes about freedom of speech, association, and religion. He's a Yale grad, and he clerked for Chief Justice William Rehnquist, the late great Chief Justice William Rehnquist. Welcome to the show, Professor Garnett. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
So can you tell our listeners a little bit about the basic facts of the case that was argued on Monday?
Yeah, so Coach Kennedy was a football coach out in Bremerton, Washington, near Seattle. And he was the coach there for a number of years. And he had a practice after every game of once the final whistle blew, he would go out and kneel at the 50-yard line and say a brief prayer. And this went on for years, and there was never any controversy about it. But then at one point, I believe it was in 2015, somebody from another team said something to the principal of Coach Kennedy's school, and then the wheels of discipline sort of started in motion. And so eventually Coach Kennedy was terminated because he refused to end this practice. And the question before the court is whether the district violated Coach Kennedy's First Amendment rights when it disciplined him for engaging in these brief prayers.
Let's just be clear about this, and a lot of people get confused about what First Amendment really means. Had this school for which Kennedy worked, would that have been, if it had been a private school, and the private school said, we're not going to allow you to do certain things, like even prayer, would that be a different story than what we're talking about now?
Yeah, for sure. A private school is not directly governed by the First Amendment, so they can have different rules for their coaches and employees and so on. I mean, there are discrimination laws that apply to private schools, but yeah, the reason why this case is significant and the reason why it's a constitutional case is because the Bremerton School District is the government, and the First Amendment controls what government officials are allowed to do when they're punishing employees for protected activity.
So let's talk a little bit about, prayer in school and separation of church and state. Let's just say that Coach Kennedy, instead of going out to the 50-yard line and praying by himself on the field after the game, let's say before the game and during the game, he would huddle with the players and he would lead them in prayer. How would that be dealt with by the law as we have it now?
Yeah, probably a different case. I mean, it's pretty well established that public school teachers and coaches count as teachers. They're not allowed to coerce or to pressure public school students into participating in religious activities. And of course, public schools are perfectly entitled to tell their employees that they have to do their jobs when they're on the clock. This case, some of us believe, is different, because Coach Kennedy was engaging in what was really sort of personal religious activity, again, at the conclusion of the game. And the fact that some, over the years, sometimes people would come to join him, and then students would join him and players would join him. But it was voluntary. It wasn't part of the curriculum. It wasn't part of the school day. That makes this a different case. So there has been some commentary that, the Supreme Court is about to reinstate government-sponsored prayer in public schools. That's not the case. This is a case not about curriculum, not about official school activity. It's a case about protecting the private religious expression of people who happen to work for the government.
So let's talk about, I've seen cases in the past where the teacher maybe is sitting in the classroom before the class starts, and say he reads from the Bible to himself.
Yeah.
you know, before the bell rings, right? The students are coming in and he's sitting there reading the Bible. How would you parse that case as far as his right to free speech or at least to freedom of religion versus the issue of separation in church and state?
Yeah, so along with some of my students, we did a brief in this Supreme Court case, and we cataloged a number of these examples, and we tried to make the case that it doesn't make any sense to say that a public school teacher loses the ability, let's say, to say a brief prayer before lunch just because a student might see him. Or what if a public school teacher, you know, goes to Mass on Ash Wednesday and, you know, gets some ashes on her head? Does she have to scrub her head before she goes into the classroom? In our view, that's not what the separation of church and state requires. That concept, which is an important one, is designed to make sure that the government itself is not directing religious activities. But we don't want to take that concept to mean that just because somebody happens to work for the government, they lose the right to engage in religious expression on their own time. You know, we wouldn't, I think most of us in the United States wouldn't want to have a rule that just because you're a government worker, you can't, you know, wear a hijab or a yarmulke or a crucifix. And so here too, if a public school teacher crosses herself before taking a bite of her sandwich, that's not a violation of the separation of church and state.
We're talking to Professor Richard Garnett, who is with Notre Dame Law School. If you have any questions or comments about this, please give us a call, 312-981-7200. And when we come back, let's hear a little bit of the argument and a little bit of Justice Kagan asking some pointed questions that I want to get to on the other side. You're listening to WGN. We're talking about the right to free speech and freedom of religion with Professor Richard Garnett from Notre Dame Law School. We're talking about a case that was argued on Monday in the U.S. Supreme Court about a football coach who prayed after the game in the field. And the question is whether he had a right to do that or whether it violated the separation of church and state. And what we're going to do now is play just a little bit. The first thing you're going to hear is the opening argument of Coach Kennedy, and then you're going to hear who I believe is Justice Elena Kagan ask some questions. Let's play it, Andrew.
When Coach Kennedy took a knee at midfield after games to say a brief prayer of thanks, his expression was entirely his own. That private religious expression was doubly protected by the free exercise and free speech clauses. When the school district fired him for that fleeting religious exercise out of endorsement concerns, it not only violated the First Amendment, but it ignored a veritable wall of this court's precedents that make clear that a school does not endorse private religious speech just because it fails to censor it.
And now we have Kagan. Do you want to play a little bit of that?
The idea of why the school can discipline him is that puts a kind of undue pressure, a kind of coercion on students to participate in religious activities when they may not wish to, when their religion is different or when they have no religion.
So, Professor, I sense that you, and again, you know, I try not to get super opinionated on this because I think that everyone should make up their own mind about what's right and wrong. Obviously, the Supreme Court is going to weigh in, and they're going to be right no matter which way you think you're right. But let me just play devil's advocate on this, and if you are going to take the position that this coach was doing this after the game, so and he didn't tell the team that they had to do this, they certainly weren't required to do it, and it wasn't a group activity, so therefore it wasn't a church or wasn't a religion, a government sponsored religious event. But Justice Kagan brings up a point. Do these kids feel compelled? Could they feel compelled to join in? Because maybe they want to curry favor with the coach. Maybe they want to start the next game. And so they think that if they participate in this, and maybe that they're going to get an advantage. Or maybe they think, you know, the team is together. They want to be part of the team and they don't want to be left out. What do you make of that argument?
Yeah, well, Justice Kagan is one of the court's most gifted questioner, so I agree with you that she really honed in on a key issue. One thing I'd say is that it's important to remember that Coach Coach Kennedy was not disciplined because of any of these concerns about coercion. This was not the theory that the school district invoked. At the time he was disciplined, the school district said that the separation of church and state requires us to forbid you from engaging in this activity, regardless of coercion, just because people might get the wrong idea and think that the district supports your prayer. So the district has kind of changed its argument between the time they disciplined the coach and now. But putting that aside, Justice Kagan is certainly right that the government is not allowed to coerce people to participate in religious activities. The thing is, in this case, there isn't any evidence that Coach Kennedy ever said or did anything that could have caused anyone reasonably to think that he was insisting or requiring or encouraging, incentivizing anybody to engage in this kind of activity.
Couldn't the students think that? I'm putting on my lawyer hat today on law day.
No, it's your show.
But couldn't you make the argument that even if the students didn't come out and say, I felt compelled to join in on this prayer, isn't that just reason enough? Like, you know, just the idea that your coach is out on the field doing this, others are joining in perhaps or not. Yeah. And there is a feeling of compulsion to join in with something that maybe you're just not comfortable doing because you're of a different religion, or maybe you don't even just want to do it because you don't want to be part of that.
Yeah. So my view would be that, we have to recall that Coach Kennedy, although he, is a coach, he has a First Amendment right to express his religious beliefs. And it seems to me that if there's no evidence that he ever said or did anything to suggest that he expected players to do this or wanted players to do this, or, that there was any kind of playing time consequences, that it's going too far to discipline a public employee because of the sort of hypothetical speculative possibility that someone might have felt pressure, even if Coach Kennedy wasn't doing anything to impose that pressure. But he was going out there and kneeling by himself. And, can we rule out the possibility that somebody might have thought, hey, maybe I can, curry some favor if I participate in this too? I don't think you can rule out that possibility. But Coach Kennedy didn't do anything, I think objectively, that could have given rise to that sort of concern. And again, we want to be clear, it's settled. All the justices agree, left, right, red, blue, up and down. They all agree the government is not allowed to have its employees coerce people into participating in religious activities. But again, there really isn't any evidence of that in this particular case. If there were, it'd be a different case.
And I suppose, to me, like, I look at this as either he didn't do anything, but just the mere fact that he's the coach, he's the one who controls who plays, he's the person they're looking up to, he's the person who controls the whole team, he's on public property, he's right after the game. It seems to me that even if I were a Muslim and Kennedy is a Christian, I would feel compelled to get into that huddle and get it near him and do what I'm supposed to do in order to be part of the team. Again, we could go back and forth on this, but I think your fact here is correct that's why this case is so interesting, because it doesn't have any coercion.
Well, so much of these cases, so many of these cases hinge on, nice details of factual context and so on. But it's worth kind of pushing out the hypothetical here. So, what if there's a player who thinks, hey, I know that Coach Kennedy goes to, First Methodist Church downtown. I'm going to go and show up and sit in front of Coach Kennedy at First Methodist on Sunday in the hopes that he'll see me there and give me some more playing time. Nobody would say that Coach Kennedy has to stop going to church.
Right? Absolutely
nobody would
not.
Say that's
right.
Coercive.
Right.
And at the same time, I think nobody on Coach Kennedy's side of this particular case would say that it was okay if Coach Kennedy stood up in the pregame, locker room meeting and said, here's the deal. Anybody who wants to start, kneel down and say a Hail Mary. You can't do that either, right? These cases are what makes them interesting is they're in between. But at least in my view, this is a case of Coach Kennedy's protected private First Amendment rights. And again, he's not engaging in coercion. If he did, it'd be a different case. And it's a mistake. And we should all, I think, worry about the government being able to punish public employees based on the speculative possibility that somebody might see them engaging in religious activity, like saying a grace before meals, you know, wearing a hijab in, on the job, what have you. We don't want public employees being sort of forbidden from those kinds of non-coercive expression just because some people might get the wrong idea.
Yeah, and well, let's talk about a few factual issues, and maybe you can bullet point a few of these before we have to take a break. And I'm just going to kind of ask you where the courts have come down on it. So if you're a teacher in a public school and you want to wear a cross around your neck, can you do that?
Yep.
Okay, nothing wrong with that. And what about the prayer in school? At first, we had issues where some schools were having a minute of prayer before school starts, and then there's also the issue of the moment of silence. Where do have the courts come down on what is constitutionally protected?
Yeah, so there were some cases in the 60s that got rid of what had been longstanding practices of having, you know, officially sponsored, as part of the school day, as part of the curriculum, government-composed prayers or, like, mandated Bible reading. So those went out in the 60s. That's not permissible anymore. The moment of silence issue is a little muddy, but I think it's fair to say that it's permissible to say something like, okay, students, before we start off, you know, with math, let's take 30 seconds to compose ourselves or something like that. That's permissible. And it's certainly permissible for students to pray on their own. They can't be disruptive, obviously, but if a student wants to, you know, say the bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts prayer before, you know, she has her lunch in the cafeteria, that's totally permitted. And if students want to talk about their own religious faith in a way that's, again, appropriate, non-disruptive, non-harassing, That's all fine, too.
Thank you so much for joining us. Professor Richard Garnett from Notre Dame Law School, thank you for weighing in on this. And well, I guess we'll wait and see what the Supreme Court's going to do. Take care. Have a good rest of your Sunday and happy Law Day to you.
Thank you.